When I grew up, and I think our families were we were very close, just like you were very close with your parents. And so at Christmas time, along with a nativity story, my father would always read The Little Match Girl, which is really, when you look at it, it's just a few paragraphs long. This would go on year after year. We all knew it, every word by heart. We all would bring our Kleenexes and we would cry, and we all cried together. And I often thought as I got older, why was that so important? What was it about that story that was so important to my father that he felt the necessity to keep that kind of a tradition going? And so this is kind of an examination of that. So it starts off in the 50s with a family celebrating Christmas with their three little daughters, which would be my sisters and me. So it does start off that way. And there's a song that's sung by an actress that's kind of representing me now, looking back and going, wondering what was the significance? How were they so wise? And how did they know what to do and how to teach us? So it starts off that way, and then it goes into the story of the little match girl. And while I was working on this, I was kind of discovering what he did find that was so important in that story. The idea of not looking, I mean, good, wonderful things are expected from people that have a lot of things. But And we're all very giving, but we can at the same time not see the people that are in pain right next door to us. And so it did bring me back to while I was working on this. I was thinking about the time when Russ and I were first married, and there was a little girl next door, and I was working out in the yard, and she had a can of beans or something, and she was pounding on the beans on the sidewalk. And I said, "Oh, honey," I don't remember what her name was. I said, "Why don't you go in? I know your mom would open this up, and I don't know if that's what she wants you to have right now." Later on, I realized the same little girl who didn't stay next door very long, I think she was being neglected, and I had no idea. Now, I'm a good person, and I would have done anything, but I was not aware. And so it's that that's part of the story too, is of this good people in the village who are giving. They're going to church with all these gifts of food and clothing for the poor, and they're walking right past this little girl that says, "Please, won't you buy my matchsticks?" and not really seeing her. And there's also the message of bullying in there with some younger village kids. The idea it's easy to pick on someone that doesn't have what you have. So there's a lot of messages, and I thought, oh my gosh, there were so many lessons that my father was able to get across to his three daughters in that story, and it with the repetition of hearing it every year. And I was talking to Richard and Marilyn Ingle last week, and I said, "I've always wondered why my father told the story." And she said, "I think you know now. Now you realize that there was a reason behind that story every year." So that's really kind of a celebration of finally understanding the significance of that tradition in my family, and then being able to put it out on stage in such a way that we can share those ideas and those thoughts with other people. It's really a beautiful story.
How challenging has it been to do the musical portion of the show?
Well, when I was doing the Lamb Caravan shows, I tried to do as many different styles as possible just to keep little kids interested. Now that this is a main stage show, I thought, I really don't have my own voice as far as a composer. I mean, I'm so used to, just adapting and making things so people will go, "Oh, yeah, that sounds kind of like the 50s, and that sounds kind of like classical music, and that sounds kind of like..." But to try to make it sound like it was Diana, I trying to find my own voice, and I'm still, experimenting with that. It was kind of fun to experiment with that. I get totally engrossed in doing it. It's a whole new way of living.
Well, I can't even imagine composing music, how what
Well,
the process.
and it, and I and I don't have the compositional, I mean, the background that I wish I would have had. I mean, I was offered it, but did I take it seriously? No, I didn't. I don't compose on paper. Everything is in my head, and then I put it into a computer, and then I have to voice it, and then I hear another instrument, and I without writing anything down, I just play it on my keyboard into the computer, and then I'll go back and alter notes and stuff like that. So it's a kind of a weird way of composing. So I don't know if I can call myself a composer. I put sounds together. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting sounds together that I like, and it's been really exciting. Especially when the last couple nights I've had a couple actors come up to me and just give me a hug and say, "Oh, thank you so much for writing that song. I love singing it." And other ones saying, "I can't get your songs out of my head." And then to see Donnie Short putting choreography to my music, I mean, I just about lost it when I came downstairs. I was working with the kids and I came downstairs and I just thought, "I can't, that's my music I'm hearing. And I'm seeing this awesome choreography." The whole thing is just like really overwhelming. I don't know if it's because of lack of sleep, because it's kind of been a nonstop 24-hour process. But yeah, it is really exciting. And everybody buying into this whole thing, Michael Rolina's set, and then with the new lighting that we have from the Gilchrist Foundation, he's going to be using them to the nth degree. And I mean, everybody's Karen Sawinski's costumes, and we have this. Oh, it's really going to be. I just, the idea that people all buying into this and want it to be the best it can possibly be is just how exhilarating.
And how wonderful for the holiday season and Christmas.
It's a great story.
It sounds like a gift, Diana. Oh. Truly a gift. And we're about out of time.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Go so fast with you.
Oh, ditto, ditto. November 20th through December 13th at lamtheater.com. You can visit the website for more information. And Diana, I'm so proud of you, and thank you for bringing this this magical production to Sioux City for a world premiere. Yeah. Does it get any more exciting than that?
It doesn't get any more exciting than this. Thank you so much, Gretchen.
Thank you for being here. We've been visiting this morning with Diana Guin-Woolley about the upcoming production. They called her Beautiful, presented by Lamb Arts Regional Theater. And I'm Gretchen Gondek for Siouxland Public Media.